Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find new information that's out there. This is the time of year that's my favorite. It's convention season.
Oh, more conventions.
Oh, I love going to my nerdy conventions, talking to some people who don't want to talk to me, talking about things that are 30, 40, 50 years old, and asking them important questions.
Well, you usually do it in the restroom, you know, after they've been on like a 5-hour question and answer session.
Right. I just want to, just a quick question. I know you're busy, but just, I just need to know.
On episode 27.
I wish I've never been at a convention with Shatner. Oh. Shatner is famous for hating the concept of the fan base at these conventions so much, and he's kind of warmed up to him over the years.
He knows where he's being paid.
That's right, because he's certainly not getting a lot of money from stuff my dad says.
Well, I went to the T.J. Hooker convention, and I enjoyed that one quite
Rescue
a bit.
Rescue 911. For our discussion of conventions and all things nerdy, I have a special guest for us this week. This is our first time we've had a special guest, Mr. Rob Selsner, who is one of my friends from high school. We've been to so many conventions together. We've got so many great stories. Rob is out in, out in California. California's a big place, but he's out there somewhere in an undisclosed location. He does some interesting...
It's a bunker, right?
Yeah.
He's in a bunker.
He's one of those. He's got his tin hat on. How's it going, Rob?
Very good. I got my Ron Paul t-shirt here, and I'm hiding out in my survival bunker with my canned food.
Excellent. You'll be able to get through at least 6 months that way.
In 2012.
Yeah, that's right.
You'll be just fine. So you've had quite a life since we've seen each other in high school so many, many years ago. You've been doing some interesting stuff. Tell us about yourself.
I got my degree in criminal justice, of all things, because I had this crazy idea in my head after high school that I wanted to be an FBI agent. I don't know where I got that.
I don't know.
X-Files.
No, you're a couple of years off, Chip. You're a couple of years off. X-Files is not his FBI training.
Blue Book.
No. Rob?
I still have the Agent Cooper trench coat. I'm looking at it right now. It's in the closet.
Rob is a huge Twin Peaks fan. That is one of the things that we know the most about Rob is the photograph that we took right after the band photos. With the banner that Rob made
and the mullet that I had.
And the mullet that you had for quite a long time with the...
mullets are always attractive.
All of the fandoms.
Always a good choice.
All of Rob's fandoms, Twin Peaks being number one on that list and Doctor Who probably being number two on that list, I would suspect.
Well, excellent. Well,
I don't know. They have parody in my mind.
Okay. So those are both number ones then. Have you been to any Twin Peaks conventions?
No, but I did meet Laura Palmer once.
Yeah, you told me that story once. Tell me that story again.
I worked for Warner Brothers Television for about 4 years, and I worked right on the studio lot, and I was just having lunch one afternoon in the cafeteria there with a friend of mine, and she and her manager sat down right next to me, and I wouldn't have said anything if I hadn't kept like glancing at her, and finally, and like finally, she's just like, "Do I know you?"
No, but I know you.
No, but I know you.
Right. That's always a creepy thing to say.
I tried to keep it professional, and I was going to tell her who I was and that I worked there, but it just sort of came out. You're Laura Palmer.
You can write a better script than that.
Yeah. So,
and her manager knew my boss and had called him before I even got back to the office, and was like, "What the hell's the matter with this guy? You're bothering my client." and it was my fortune. My boss hated this guy, so he's like, "I don't give a f- what he said, but what are you, some kind of fanboy? What the hell's the matter with you?"
We're going blue. We're going blue for this show.
We have. That's what we get for a special guest. That's all right.
Today's show is all blue.
That's all right. I don't think many of my students listen to this show.
Oh, good choice.
Wait, they all do.
Well, then you've got to be excited because they're bringing Twin Peaks back.
That is a big story from this year, is the 25th anniversary of that show, and David Lynch is just crazy enough to make good on that promise that Laura Palmer made to Agent Cooper, I'll see you in 25 years.
Some of them haven't aged so well in 25 years.
No, they really, really haven't. Kyle MacLachlan looks like he's had quite a bit of work done to maintain, but he's fallen apart a little bit.
It's amazing. I look so great. I mean, I'm almost 29 now. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal this conversation, my friends. Put some Julie Cruise on.
Yeah, is Julie Cruise still around?
Oh God, yeah. Have you seen in the Twin Peaks box set and the special features? Is an interview with her from maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and she looks like she's been here and back a few times.
Oh boy.
Well, so that means she looks great because they all look great. Come
that's
on.
Right. Yeah, that's
just in case they invite us someplace. You never know.
That's what happens when we turn 40. That's for sure.
I don't know if she still sings, but she talks like this.
just a few Marlboros.
Yeah. I remember working with Angelo and David.
Oh, jeez. Kind of like the 80s VJs that are on the XM radio trying to make that happen. I'm just happy to be here. So we got to go through some of the conventions that we've been to. We started out in 1989, you and me, Rob. We went to that Intergalactic Expo in Harvey, Illinois, and
yes.
Played some laser tag and shook hands with Colin Baker, one of the doctors, Walter Koenig, and Nichelle Nichols. That was fun.
Uhura.
Yeah.
I remember the laser tag was funny because you didn't even have to play. For like a buck, you could stand up in the rafters and just shoot at the people playing.
That's right. I forgot about
really,
that.
Which really annoyed them, but it was fun.
It was good entertainment for a buck.
Yeah.
And remember at that particular convention, they showed us Moontrap, the special... Before it was released, they showed us this really crummy sci-fi movie about being trapped on the moon and having these aliens come at you. The thing I remember the most about it is how poorly it was framed, and we could see the boom mic in the shot like 20 times in this movie.
Is there a problem with that?
It was hilarious.
We should mention that conventions... can be a grab bag. You never know what you get them. Some of them have big time events. Like we're in the Chicago area, so we get a number of them that have really kind of cool. Like we're going to introduce something really cool.
And that's why I bring this up this week, because this week is the start of the Chicago TARDIS convention,
okay.
The annual event that happens the weekend after Thanksgiving.
And for people who don't know what TARDIS is, that is the
ship that the Doctor travels in. Is
Doctor
time...
Who?
I don't know. Time and relative dimensions in space. And Rob and I have been big time fans of that show for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how much we are now in less of a minority in that, Rob.
Yeah.
There's a large group.
Doctor Who's hip. I never thought I would hear myself say that, but it's like a hip thing.
Well, when we start moving to the rural areas, they get a little different. They can be where they sell memorabilia. They do a whole bunch of different stuff. But for a Doctor Who fan, is there a current Doctor Who show on?
Well, depends on your definitions. The current series just ended last week, a really good series finale last week. And when I say series finale, I mean English series, meaning a group of 12 episodes, as opposed to an American series finale, which would be the end of the show forever.
And where is it showing? Is it on BBC?
On BBC America and on the BBC in England. And you can find episodes of it if you know the right location to look.
So what you're saying is that there's a black market for things that are not easily accessible in probably the That's mm-hmm. something to think about.
That is.
As a person in entertainment, making your stuff accessible.
The nice thing is that the previous year's episodes are available in lots of places. Netflix has them, Amazon okay. Prime has them, and I've seen them in all sorts of other formats as well.
Now, is this the same series that started after Battlestar Galactica about 6 years ago?
This is the series. It's been 10 years now, Chip.
Well, yeah. I'm in a time
war.
That
was 10 years ago.
That was 10 years that has been the new series. It was canceled for a few years there in the 90s. How many years was it canceled, Rob? Do you have that in your head?
It was canceled our freshman year of high school. So okay. It would have been 88, 89.
That was 1988.
In fact, let's talk briefly about that, because that's one of the most interesting things that I know about the Doctor Who series, because I'm not a person who watched it. But I know that there's been, I don't know, 100 different Doctors.
There's been
a few.
13 and a half, depending on how you count.
So there's 13 and a half different Doctors. But this is the same character, but he's changes. Mm-hmm. And so explain how they bring in the new actor who plays the Doctor and how they explain that.
Take it, Rob.
The Doctor is a Time Lord, and he comes from the planet Gallifrey, and Gallifreyans can regenerate. In other words, sort of when they die, I mean, assuming it's not like a horrible, violent injury, like an explosion, he can rejuvenate himself, and that's how he turns into a new person.
And that came about because of the first Doctor leaving the show, and they had to decide what they were going to do. The actor playing the first Doctor, William Hartnell, was a beloved actor, and his mind was not quite the strong thing that it was at the beginning. He was getting older, and he left the show, and they had to decide what to do. This was the character. This was the Indiana Jones for this story, and they had to decide, were they going to end the story when that man stopped being this character, or what were they going to do? And that was the decision that was made, and maybe the best thing that ever happened to Doctor Who.
And when you became aware of the program, you know, we talked about in North Carolina, where I grew up, it would show up on PBS.
Yep, that's
is that where you would find it here in the Chicago area?
Yep, very famously, the WTTW Channel 11 in Chicago was
Window to the World. My
our
friend.
Window to the World. They were
with
Marty Robinson. They were the ones who brought us Doctor Who and got us hooked. And very famously, that is the program that was broken into in the 80s when somebody decided that it would be fun to hack into the broadcast and broadcast something else during Doctor Who.
Really? I don't know that story.
You're going to think I'm a total nerd. I have that on VHS. I was taping Doctor Who that night. It was the horror of Fang Rock. And I just accidentally, I caught the whole thing. It goes on for like 10 minutes. That guy dressed up like Max Headroom.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, and he pirated the broadcast. He was in a location between the broadcast tower and some other thing where the broadcast was being bounced, and he hijacked that frequency and broadcast his own video, and it goes on, like you said, for about 10 minutes.
So he went Total V for Vendetta on it.
Uh-huh. Very much. Yeah. I think that's where that story comes from.
That's pretty awesome. All right, so was the show a late night show on Saturday nights or something like that, or?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, look at this! I'm just guessing.
You are guessing correctly. Yes, you are correct, sir. Yep, Saturday nights. That's still the case for Doctor Who. Doctor Who is still a Saturday night program, has been for a very long time now, and they've filled that market, that time slot, very well.
So tell me about this convention. Is it a big convention, relatively speaking?
This year's convention is going to be huge because, of course, they get guests from the show, the stars of the show, and they have a few of the really big stars this year. The big get, of course, is Billy Piper, who played Rose in the 2005 season, 2006. She is coming to Chicago for this convention, which is pretty huge. Saturday is all sold out, as a matter of fact, because that one human being is going to be there. There's always quite a few of the doctors who show up.
What's the curly head one that would be the one that the people like me would know about? If we think of Doctor Who, we think of this gentleman with the long scarf.
All teeth and curls. That's right.
That's who I would think.
Yes.
Is Doctor Who. But I know, like I said, I know there's a bunch of actors who've played him.
That would be the young and ambitious Tom Baker.
Okay.
Who is... He is the iconic doctor for a lot of people, especially for Americans, because that's the time frame when we started seeing Doctor Who on PBS in America. He is right. That icon. You've met Tom Baker, haven't you, Rob?
I seem to remember we met him at a convention.
I think he's on the list. I know... Okay, let's do the list. We ran into John Pertwee on the way into the merchandise room in one of the Visions conventions. He was trying to leave desperately, and we were trying desperately to shake his hand and be so excited to meet him. He was all in purple velvet, of course. He was
right.
I dress that way also most of the time.
He was getting old, but he was still in purple velvet because that's the icon that he was.
You Americans in your sloppy dress. We wear black velvet.
That's right. And I remember seeing Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah.
Do you remember somebody else was dressed in cosplay as the Sylvester McCoy doctor, and he came out on stage first and pretended to be Sylvester McCoy, and Sylvester McCoy was back in the back with a microphone doing the voice while this guy was standing on stage. It was surreal.
He got a lot of mileage out of that "I'm the real McCoy."
Aha. That's good stuff.
He did that at a couple of conventions, I seem to remember.
So what's the recurring story of Doctor Who? Is it just traveling around and meeting things very Star Trek-like? Or is there a evil person that we're
that brings us to the series finale for last season of Doctor Who, where the evil guy, which is a recurring character, shows up and he is no longer a guy.
Really?
Yes. He's the evil Time Lord called the Master. And because of regeneration, because you can change your shape, your body, your personality, he has come back as a female character.
Lonnie Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That would be great. I'd watch that.
That'd be surreal, I think.
I'd watch that. Did you like that, Rob? Did you like the female
Jenner,
master?
I'm sorry. Bruce Jenner.
I actually haven't seen it yet, but...
Oh, then I've ruined it for you!
Let's go ahead and spoil that for you.
I should have said spoilers before that. Seriously, you didn't watch last week's episode?
No, it's in my backlog of things. My wife is making me watch The Walking Dead, and so I can't really get a word in edgewise till that's over.
You can't... Wait a minute. The Walking Dead is taking precedence over... Doctor Who?
There's a Walking Dead convention this weekend, and no.
No, I get my Doctor Who days. I have Sunday mornings are my Doctor Who days.
You are allowed one morning a week. You could watch your little funny children's program on Sunday mornings
before the soccer match. We like to watch the Doctor Who.
Now, the last couple of the Doctor Who's are in that queue of TV shows that I get from that black market nebulous void.
So I've ruined the whole thing for you.
Not that we would ever use those type of things, but if they were available, we probably could get to them.
You know, Steve, I do have access to the internet. You actually didn't ruin it for me.
The internet. We've never thought of that as a place to find more information.
Didn't Al Gore create that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. We should probably
him and Bill
that.
Gates. I think when I ask my students, they either come up with Bill Gates or some of them think, oh, Al Gore.
We should probably write that down and put that as a test question at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, good point.
Some of the other conventions that I like to go to other than the Doctor Who convention is Chicago's C2E2, the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. That one is really big.
When is that one? I used to go to, in fact, when I moved up here from Virginia, my first year I went to the Wizard World.
Yeah, I skipped that one.
Well, that was my first... One in a big city, and I got to meet a lot of big time players. Of course, I met Lou Ferrigno. He's at every one of these things. And for $20, you can get a poster and you get a handshake. And then there's a whole bunch of actors, Star Wars people, and stuff like that. But
Wizard World is in August next year, and C2E2 is in April. So we should probably take some microphones and go out there.
That would be fun. I enjoy going to conventions. I haven't been in a long time, but if if you've never been to one, in fact, one of the things I want to do one day is go to a Star Trek convention. And not because I'm a huge Star Trek fan, I'm aware of it and stuff, but I just, I mean, I saw Galaxy Quest. I know it's going to be cool.
There you go.
And I wouldn't mind going, in fact, if you've ever seen the movie Trekkies, there's mm-hmm. a good example of why I want to go to one. I also want to go to a Star Wars convention at some point, because we just know it's going to be just, these things are odd, surreal, and fun at the same time. You relive your youth through all these people. And there are people who, you think you're passionate. There are people that are way more passionate than you'll ever be. Yeah.
The other one that is just starting up is called Sci-Fi, and that is a science fiction convention. And that one is coming up. They're doing their first one in March.
Okay.
So that one is going to be a new...
Is that going to be downtown in McCormick Place, or is that going to be...
This one's a lot smaller. This one's actually at a hotel. This is the Palmer House Hilton downtown,
okay,
which is a beautiful facility.
Okay.
Room 402.
That's right. Just show up, knock three times.
It's a much smaller convention.
What I will tell you is you meet a lot of people who are the creators of these types of programming or events. And I've got positive interactions with them, and I've got things that I wish I could go back and change. I remember I met the guy that created Green Lantern. Hmm. Not the modern one, the original one.
Okay.
And he was like 90 years old. I shouldn't say. He's probably in his 80s. His wife was standing there. He bought a table at Artist Alley. And I really wish I would have talked to him a little bit more, but I was so overwhelmed with just being there and being my first time, I didn't spend a lot of time talking to him.
Laura Palmer.
But these guys are you know, they're some of them are getting up in age. I met a whole bunch of other people that, you know, I've had wonderful interactions with a lot of artists and a lot of writers.
Yeah, conventions are great for meeting people, for having that community of people who come together and say, we like this thing. Mm-hmm. We can talk about this thing. We enjoy it. We don't care what anybody outside of these rooms feel about it. We are a part of this community.
Let me mention another part. I met the gentleman who started Dark Horse Comics. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what the gentleman's name was, but I'm totally embarrassed by my conversation with him, because I went up to their place and they were basically discounting a whole bunch of damaged books. And these are big, thick comics of Star Wars stories. And so I'm asking him which ones are the good ones. And I'm just thinking about this. He's going, listen, I'm the publisher. I've created all of these.
They're
How could you, dumb guy, come up and ask this? But I really didn't know he was until, mm-hmm. I mean, until a few years later. And I actually saw his picture in like an article that he had written about something. And I was like, wow. Yeah, this is the reason why... Well, just being the ignorant, stupid person, I play that very well at times.
Nah, it works for you. Brings us to our movie of the week, our film at 11, and our movie draft is still going on. We got quite a few movies that are doing great in the box office right now. Interstellar is doing really well, but it's Big Hero 6 that is the leader in our movie draft right now. And Interstellar did something very interesting this week. AMC Theaters are offering an unlimited pass. You can come in and watch Interstellar all you want for a flat fee.
Well, they said $25 to $35, mm-hmm. right? Well, here's a question. I have not seen Interstellar yet.
I haven't either. Rob, have you seen Interstellar?
No, not yet.
Okay. Good. All right, this will be a good review then.
I would like to see it, but I don't know if it's worth repeat viewings at the theater.
It seems to be. I mean, why else would they come out with an offer like this? They're not making an offer like this for the children's film, Big Hero 6.
Okay.
Logically speaking, children's films are those repeat viewing sort of titles. There's got to be something about this film that makes it ripe for this offer.
Maybe there's a twist in the story. Maybe there is a deepness that you can watch on a couple different levels.
Just Matthew McConaughey.
That's right. Driving. He looks a lot like Jim Carrey. I don't know if you've seen that.
Rob, did you see that Jim Carrey on Saturday Night Live when he was doing the Matthew McConaughey Lincoln commercial?
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Oh, boy.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm doing my Wolf of Wall Street Matthew McConaughey, but
the movies that are opening this week are Horrible Bosses 2, Before I Disappear, The Imitation Game, and The Penguins of Madagascar. I don't know what's going to be the winner on that list. What do you think?
My guess is going to be The Penguins, because for up here in the Chicago area, kids have off this week of school.
Oh.
So that yeah, possibly could
kids
be.
Kids movies are always a good bet.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. The Imitation Game has got that Benedict Cumberbatch in it.
Okay.
And it's
I don't plan on seeing any of these.
Con!
I just like saying Benedict Cumberbatch.
What a name.
Sounds naughty.
It's like naming your kid Adolf.
I'm not sure it is.
Okay, it isn't.
So we'll see what happens with the movie draft this week. We move on to our appetite segment, our app of the week, and we've got two new apps that came out. The first one is the Google Inbox, which is a new way to look at your email, new way to organize things into a different structure. And I got my invitation last week, and I've been playing with it, and it's different. I'm not sure that I like it, but it organizes things in a different way. It gives you bright, colorful ways to look at your information and to disseminate the good information from the unnecessary.
One of the real challenges with email is that it can back up. I have a junk email address that I if somebody asks me for my email and I put it in this email address, I will get 100 emails a day, if not more. Mm-hmm. I can't effectively go through that.
Nor do you want to.
No. And then I have a personal email address, and I still get 40 emails a day, and then I have a work email address. So there is a real challenge with making a way to make email effective, because one, I delete a bunch of the junk emails. I just delete them in bulk. We really are having a difficult time, finding an effective way to work this email. Some people are using email almost like a text, mm-hmm. which is sort of a poor way of using email. We don't have a. I see that there is a need to revisit this. Google's attempting something with this with their new inbox.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Rob? Do you get a lot of emails? Do you use email in your line of work?
Yeah, although I find it interesting, I'm finding that people younger than me really don't use email all that much. And I'm wondering if email itself isn't becoming a kind of a generational thing, like a rotary telephone or something like that.
It really is. I mean, email really is why we invented the internet. The internet was for moving a paragraph, a paper, from one place to another. That's why it was created, and boy, that seems like an outmoded concept to these kids, that's for sure.
Well, very similar to your mailbox has just become a depository for the elections.
Advertisements.
The election's over. So what comes in the mail now?
Right, nothing. Absolutely nothing. In January I'll get the bills from Christmas.
It'll be called the Amazon box. Oh, wait a minute. We can't use that. We'll call it the delivery box from stuff that's being delivered to you.
Right.
Did you hear about that program Walmart was going to introduce where you could buy stuff online from Walmart, and if somebody else was at the store purchasing something and you happened to live near this person who ordered it online, Walmart would give it to you and ask you to deliver it?
Yes. Yes.
Seriously.
This was about six months ago.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I could see. No, let me.
Hey, you going down the street? Because we got this box. We got to bring it over to John.
Well, let me.
Yeah, Johnny's wife needs her underpants. Here, take these over there.
Let me say how this could potentially work out. It's not any different than Uber. If I'm a person who is Uber,
but it is different from Uber.
No, I could park my car at Walmart. Basically, in between Uber. Somebody contacted me to be my taxi service. I could deliver stuff.
But you are volunteering to do that. You're not showing up at Walmart to buy your oranges.
That's
and they go, oh, while you're here.
No, they pay you.
Right.
No, they're paying you to do that. They're paying you.
But still, if you were planning to go to Walmart to buy oranges, and they say, bring these underpants to Johnny's wife.
If I'm unemployed,
Yeah.
If I'm unemployed and I want to create a way for me to make income, that may be fine for them to do it. I could see us creating this type. I mean, it's not Meals for Wheels, not Meals on Wheels, where they basically stop by Chili's and they stop by Applebee's.
And they find the guy that's making the orchids.
And then they drop it off. Right. You're delivering flowers in between. I could see a need for these I could see a service that basically provides this. That's different than UPS or FedEx.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically mom and pop type of, you know, I got a van and we'll deliver.
Oh jeez. I don't know what we're headed towards.
Welcome to Walmart. I love you.
Walmart loves you and wants you to be happy.
And wants you to take these underpants to Johnny's wife.
Along with the six-pack, baby.
Brings us to our book it of the week. Our book this week, I've chosen a Doctor Who book. And I know, Rob, you have a collection of Doctor Who books over the years. And I know that you've read lots of them. But the one that I have on the list is Whoology. It's a fun publication of just trivia. And it's
who wrote it?
I don't know, some guy. He liked Doctor Who. Maybe it was you. Let me look it up.
Let's review a book.
It was written by Kevin Scott and Mark Wright, just two guys that probably, like us, were sitting in their basement one day and said, "Hey, let's write a book."
Mom, bring me some meatloaf.
Is it a trivia kind of book, or is it more of a history of the show?
It's a history of the show kind of book, but it is those trivial pieces of the history of the show. It is the what happened to this character, how did this character die. They have lists of things, lists of the deaths, the lists of companions, the lists of locations, trying to line up a timeline of this time traveling story. It's fun. It's not deep.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't want nothing deep.
There are times for deep books, and there are times for the light stuff.
That's right.
Well, Doctor Who has the capacity to be a deep show. I always found what was interesting about Doctor Who is, and especially the classic episodes, in the opening credit sequence, the only name is the writer, not the star of the show, you know, not the creator or producer. It's always been the writer. I think it's always been a writer's show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the writers of those early episodes, too, knew they were never going to have the budget to make a really high-class, believable science fiction show, so they just decided to write what they wanted.
And that's a big change to the new series since 2005. They've had some pretty good money being thrown at that show now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that was one of the reasons it got canceled in the late 80s anyway. It was competing with Star Trek, The Next Generation, and like I seem to remember at the end there, reruns of the A-Team in Britain were getting more viewers than Doctor Who was, and I think that was one of the reasons they just canceled it.
Wow. Yeah, it was a dark time, that's for sure.
Well, we really are at a unique time as far as entertainment, because if you can find a sliver of an audience, you can find the budget to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know they're looking for this passionate group they can hit,
mm-hmm.
and if they get you every week, then they've got their advertisers.
And if they can get us to go to the convention every year. Yeah.
There you go.
Right.
Brings us to our And Now the News segment. There's not much news this week, but one thing that I really found interesting was, you know, we landed this probe on this comet.
Oh, listen to that.
And this probe has sent back this sound while hurtling through space.
This is talking to me, by the way.
Wouldn't it be silent in space?
Exactly. This is not actually sound. This is the sound of some sort of reaction that the microphone equipment is having to the solar winds. And you can hear it sounds kind of like a wind blowing, but it's not a wind.
My favorite thing that you said to me about this is that it sounds like old science fiction shows.
It really does. It really does. If you were writing a science fiction show in the 60s and you put this sound into it, people would have gone, yeah, right. That's a xylophone and a wind machine. But this is actual sounds from space.
And we all know it sounds from space sound like Star Wars.
It's a way more Doctor Who sound than a Star Wars sound, my friend. This is low budget 1960s stuff. And this is real. This is, again, it's not really sound. It is a reaction of the electronics of this microphone. And something is making the microphone vibrate, making the microphone electrons jump. But it's creepy.
Well, I saw the History Channel, the history of the human race through Ancient Aliens, so I know this is probably from that.
There you go.
No, I'm teasing.
It's fake. They brought it down from the fake moon landing.
Exactly. We should talk more about that.
There you go. We'll get to that next week.
We're going to go on the deep end right now.
There's not much else in the news, really. I mean, there's other stories.
It's Black Friday, baby.
That's right. We're all just getting ready for Thanksgiving. We're getting ready for Black Friday after that. We're getting ready for the Doctor Who convention. We're our 40th birthday just passed. So, you know, that's all that's in the news.
We can get back to that part where all the middle class people make fun of the people who are middle class or. But who get up early and have to make it there to get all their goods.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, Black Friday is certainly a hard time for a lot of people, isn't it?
I don't know. Do the news channels just hook, like, right there in the Walmart or something, waiting for the people to push through, hoping somebody gets injured?
You never see them at the Macy's. It's always at the Walmart.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. What can we do to shame other people? I don't know. Let's go ahead and put them on the television.
Oh, jeez. News is just—it's just the sideshow of the 21st century, isn't it?
That well, they have infotainment. COVID.
Yeah,
they do. And well, you're right. It's infotainment. It's making things more grand than they probably are.
Sounds like this show.
It's kabuki theater for the masses.
That's right. All right, I think we...
Good news, we're going to kill a bunch of turkeys.
God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
This is Les Nessman. Oh, the humanity!
The mall has just been bombed with live turkeys.
Do you know... how much these shows, my goodness, mm-hmm. we can talk about this in snippets and we all know what we're talking about.
Yeah. We did our Batman episode last week and we talked about Batman. We talk about these things from our youth. That's why these Doctor Who conventions exist. I'm surprised there's no WKRP in Cincinnati convention.
Well, we've used this the last few weeks. We've sat there and talked about Johnny Fever mm-hmm. and the drinking episodes mm-hmm. where Venus Flytrap, was it Herb?
No, it was just the two of them.
The idea was the anti-drinking and driving. Mm-hmm. And the more the Johnny Fever drank, the better he performed.
That's right.
By the time it's in a Venus Flytrap is...
falling over.
He can't stand
And then he
up.
Saw a giant pig painting the lobby.
That's right. Oh, brilliant stuff.
Oh, by the way, if you want to know how I dressed on the weekday, just Herb Tarlick.
There you go.
I go for some...
white shoes, white belt. You're all set.
I'm always in the latest of fashions.
There you go. I don't know. I think we got enough information. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
It's been a blast talking about all this stuff with you. I haven't talked to you for a long time, and it's good to hear the same jokes from 30 years ago.
Yeah. Hey, Cop Rock. I want to see that come back with Twin Peaks.
Oh, excellent.
I want to see a Cop Rock reunion.
There you go.
Well, we're going to if we've got all the information, that means we could come back the following week, right?
Yeah, I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
I hope so. Well, maybe with a little turkey.
There you go. If you need more information, there's lots of great ways to find more information. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find our show on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And there's so much information out there. Keep looking at it. Keep eating those turkeys. And keep watching those shows from 30, 40, and in Doctor Who's case, 50 years ago.
We will sacrifice a turkey in your honor.
Thanks again for tuning in to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hussey.
We'll see you in the future. What I want to talk about is what I want to thank you for, what I want to